Joined by our friend, our pal, our buddy, Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, who this must feel a little bit like your cool down after a marathon. You've just done Facebook Live with Merrick and Wyshynski, and now you're on with me. Boy, that's what we like to call a change up in the old business.
Yes, sir. Rob, I can get my heart rate down again back on your program.
Yes, you can. We'll get to the World Cup final, which is obviously big news and coming up tonight, but today also big news. As the NHL rolling out its centennial plans for January and beyond, and maybe the biggest part of this is the further reconciliation between Wayne Gretzky and the NHL. That's positive, I would suggest.
Very much so. And, you know, what a delight even just to have Wayne on stage today and telling stories and you know, kind of weighing in on you know, issues of history and the past. I mean, the sort of thing, frankly, that we haven't seen enough of, at least in an NHL setting. And, you know, I think it's very nice that he's accepted a position as the ambassador for the centennial season, which will run from January 2017 until December 2017, and that he'll be a lot more public at that, these types of things. I think in a year like the one we've had where we've lost Gordie Howe and some other NHL legends, that it just kind of reminds you even more that, you know, some of these sort of titans of the game, you know, you should have them around and have them part of things, you know, while they're still here.
Well, and I'm glad you went down that path because, Chris, I'm one of those that, you know, while I appreciate where the league has come and where it's going, I do sometimes find that it's sanitized itself a little bit from its history. You know, the removal of, you know, the division names, the old Adams division and Norris division, while those guys may not have been the best people at times, they are part of the history of this league. Do you get a sense that the league is shifting a little bit and willing to embrace more of its history?
Yeah, I do, and I think that this centennial is going to be, you know, pretty interesting. They kind of gave us a tease of some of what they have planned for that year today at the press conference, but, you know, I got the sense that there's a lot more still to come, and, you know, that could be part of it. I know one thing certainly that's been much discussed in the hockey operations is even changing the award names to reflect a little bit more of the current history. Maybe that will surface again, but, you know, when you get to a year like this, and I know it's something that the league has spent at least the last 4 years, you know, really focusing on. It does give you a chance to take stock of where you're at and where you've been and maybe, you know, find some of these ways to better honor your history. And I think, you know, all of that kind of combined to get Wayne Gretzky back kind of in an official role with the league. And, you know, I would suggest to you that I don't think they'll stop there.
I part of what intrigues me about Gretzky is that they are going to unveil the top 100 players in NHL history, which I'm excited about. I love lists like that. We live in a different world. I mean, I think everybody gets angry rather than debates these things, but I am certainly interested to see who makes up the top 100.
Well, and what remains to be seen, I'm not sure that they're going to be unveiled in a 100 to number one kind of format, that maybe it'll just be the top 100 players, or you know, another thing was suggested to me is they might split them into the players from the first 50 years of the league and the last 50. Okay. But you're right, it's a lot to chew on, and I don't entirely know what that's going to look like. But you know, basically, you know, come the All Star game in Los Angeles, the All Star weekend in late January, there, you know, any living members from that group are going to take part in that. There's going to be some sort of centennial gala to discuss it and talk about it. And you know, I'm with you. I think it gives us all pretty good fodder to debate and discuss. And, you know, it's not an easy list to pull together. At least, you know, we'd all have the same top 20. But, you know, once you get deeper than that, I think there's a lot sort of wide variance and you know, what some people would feel should be on that kind of list.
Well, I had to chuckle a little bit because, you know, somebody asked Wayne Gretzky for, I believe, just his top six, and he gave them, and the Internet got angry. I find that hard to believe.
The Internet was born angry. But, yeah, I actually thought that was good of Wayne. You know what I mean? Someone just said, what's your all-time NHL All-Star team? And, you know, without giving it much serious thought, he rhymed off his list. And he honored a couple of his heroes and a couple of the guys he played with in Edmonton by going with Bobby Orr, Paul Coffey, Jean Béliveau, Gordie Howe, and Marc Messier, and then Grant Fuhr and Nett, which I think was the one that I saw most people sort of panning. But, I mean, if you ask him for his opinion, he gave it to you at least.
I agree. In conversation, Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, our NHL insider, joining us. One of the other parts of this day Again, back with my pal Gary Bettman, and I do like him, but it's weird sometimes. And Gary had one of those weird moments talking about the World Cup. In one hand, he chided everybody for not understanding and jumping on board as early as last year. He said it was going to be terrific and the hybrid teams would be terrific. And then he said, but we don't know if we're going to do it again. What is, as you understand it today, Chris, where are we at for future World Cups?
We're less clear now than we've ever been, I think, with the international calendar in general, but certainly with the World Cup. Today was the first day I heard Gary suggest that they'll have to decide if the next World Cup is in 3 years, 4 years, or 5 years, which, you know, I never heard that sort of possibility of the variants. I mean, there's still talk about doing a Ryder Cup type of format, which hasn't been specifically decided upon 2 years from now. And then obviously the Olympics is, you know, not necessarily directly tied to these things, but is part of the wider conversation, and that issue is far from clear. So I do believe there's going to be another World Cup, but there's a lot of possibilities for what it looks like, where it's held, and when it's held. And then, you know, that's a bit of a surprise, I must say. I thought that, you know, sort of the point of bringing it back now, and you know, they've already announced that they're going to do a second one with the NHLPA, that they would want to set a schedule and kind of stick to it to make it, you know, I think have a bit more continuity and you know, have it become a more regular fixture. The fact that, you know, it's even in doubt whether we'll have one in 2019, 2020, or 2021, it doesn't bode well. And, you know, there's still time to work these things out. But I was a bit surprised, I'm with you, that you know, here we are kind of in the closing days of this one. You know, an event that's made money and is, you know, I think been a pretty good initial foray back into this thing, and that the future of it is still so up in the air.
You raise the Olympics, and I think it's almost on a biweekly basis we talk about this, but I woke up this morning reading an article quoting Rennie Fassell from the IIHF saying that he's a little more optimistic, puts it at 50-50, and then I read comments from Bill Daly saying it probably hasn't looked this dark. Do you care to read the tea leaves on that particular topic?
Well, I think I can explain where the divide comes in, and, you know, really where the NHL and NHLPA have left it is that Rennie Fassell, in his role, you know, he has a strong tie to the IOC. He has been the one dealing directly with the International Olympic Committee. And then, you know, obviously the main issue, which we've touched on, is getting the $10 or $11 million in place to cover the anticipated travel and insurance costs that you know, have always been covered in the past, but are not currently on the table. And, you know, when I hear Renee say that he's feeling a little more optimistic, I'm reading into that he's maybe a little bit closer, feels a little more confident he might be able to rustle up that money. You know, from the NHL standpoint, the biggest concern here is they have to make a schedule for 2017-18. And, you know, by November, certainly December at the latest, I think that they really want to have an idea whether they'll be going to the Olympics, because obviously that has a significant impact on what the schedule looks like. And because they're still sitting here at this time and have no update on you know, whether this is going to happen, you know, the longer it goes on, they're feeling less hopeful. So I don't think that either Bill Daly or Rennie Fassell are being disingenuous with those comments. It's just that they're kind of involved at different stages right now. And I think the biggest issue is they're not all together talking about this. And, you know, time really is of the essence.
Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, our guest here on Flames at 5 for Pete the Plumber, the superhero residential plumbing and heating on our sister station, 660 News tonight. We'll have game one of Team Europe and Team Canada. I want this to be competitive. I think it could be competitive, but in my heart of hearts, Chris, I don't think it's going to be. How do you break down this matchup between these two sides?
Yeah, I'm in much the same camp as you. I would like it to be not one-sided, but, you know, Canada's just been so good. And, you know, we saw the game that they played against Europe in the preliminary stages of this event, and it was, you know, rather one-sided. And, you know, I don't envision really that being different here. I mean, I think some people have overlooked in general maybe, you know, what Team Europe's been. They've actually become a pretty coherent team. They have, obviously, Anze Kopitar as their top centerman and Roman Josi as their top defenseman. And any team that has that, whether it's in the NHL or in this type of competition, it is poised to have some success, especially with the way they play. But you know, Canada's just been the class of international hockey the last little while. And you know, I don't see them taking them lightly. I don't see them straying from their game plan. And as a result, I don't really see too many scenarios where they lose even one of these games, let alone two out of three.
couple of guys that I want to ask you about with Team Europe who don't have NHL deals are defensemen, and Dennis Seidenberg and Christian Ehrhoff. Have you heard anything? Is there any rumblings of these guys getting NHL work once this tournament's over?
Dennis Seidenberg, I'm reasonably confident, is going to land somewhere this year. He's been involved actually throughout this event, talking to some teams. I think he's even, because of some injury issues he's had, kind of submitted to some physicals. Teams, curious about his status. And, the feeling around him is that he's not even going to have to take a PTO, that he'll likely get a one-year deal somewhere. I don't yet know where it is. I do think there's a few teams. Ottawa has definitely been one of them that have shown interest in Dennis. But, I do think that you're going to see him back in the NHL this year. Christian Ehrhoff is a bit more of a wild card for me. And then, if he is willing to take a tryout, certainly he's going to have options available to him. But teams right now of those two guys, that Seidenberg is generating the most interest from other teams.
The other storyline is, and we talked to Rob Blake yesterday, who's the assistant general manager in L.A., but the injury to Marian Gaborik, that is, in many ways, is it not, Chris, kind of the worry that the GMs and the league and everybody has about a tournament like this? That's a significant blow for the L.A. Kings and Marian Gaborik to lose him for 6 to 8 weeks.
And it must be doubly so because, I thought he played very well here. And Marian Gaborik has been in the league a long, long time. But, I think that his stock is kind of floundered a little bit. He didn't have a great season last year. But, he was really one of the main players on Team Europe that led to their success. So, Dean Lombardi, who probably, given his role with Team USA, hasn't probably enjoyed watching much of the World Cup in general. But anything he was seeing from Marian Gaborik must have given him some hope. Just that he was already at such a high level early in the year, and then now to miss the next 2 months. I mean, that's a nightmare scenario for the player and for the team. And, we all knew that these risks were there with having these type of games at this level in September, but you don't like hearing about injuries like that because, that's going to really impact the season, obviously. And, it could happen in training camp or a preseason game, but, when it's summer like this where the LA Kings have loaned him, I think it's a little bit extra difficult for teams to kind of put their minds around.
All right, one last one for you this visit, and it's a bit of a personal question because there's the old adage that you never want to cover the briar in your own hometown. What's it like having all of this in your backyard for the last couple of weeks?
It's been awesome. It's actually been really cool to see, the city get excited about hockey again. And if we're being honest, there hasn't been a lot of reason for excitement in Toronto around the rink at the Air Canada Centre in a long time. And, to have the world's media around and so many great players and, really good crowds at the games for the most part, I think, it's been kind of a shot in the arm. And, it has me excited for the season in general. And, I think a lot of people, probably the more optimistic fans, I guess, around looking forward to the days when the Maple Leafs might generate this kind of excitement because, it's a good hockey city, Toronto, and there's been a lot of dark days in the last 10 years.
Great stuff. Thanks, Chris. We'll talk on Thursday.
Sounds good. Thank you, Rob.